Probably the biggest obstacle is that we have approached this thing in such a way that we want to keep a certain segment of our population at a certain level. Everybody's not going to own two trucks, two boats, three cars, a home on the beach, and a home wherever their base home is. But everyone should be able to take their children on a vacation. Everyone should be able to provide the things that other children have for their children. And a livable wage will be determined based on this employer's revenue. When I say that, if you are a steel worker, there's a category. If you are a coal miner, there's a category. If you're working in the poultry industry, there's a category. Again, when my mother worked in the poultry industry and my father later worked in the poultry industry, they made a nickel more per the minimum wage per hour. $2.35, they were making $2.40, then $2.45, and then $2.50 an hour. That was big money in the 60s and in the early 70s. That was a lot of money. But it wasn't until organized labor came by and says, hey, look, you know, these families are working hard every day. They're hanging live poultry and they're in the worst conditions. The women, hands are cold, their feet are wet. They need aprons to keep their bodies from getting soaking wet from the waters flying all around. And they need to be able to do that. And I can remember my mother had worked there for certain years, and each year or every 5 years, you would earn another week's vacation. Now, they had the option when their vacation time came about, they could either take their vacation for 3 weeks or they can keep working, and then they would get three checks as if they were working 40-hour-a-week checks. And they would take their three checks to make sure that we had a nice 4th of July. We were able to cook out around the house, a pair of tennis shoes, two pair of shorts, and some T-shirts to wear. But they would keep working because we still needed the money to pay the utilities and et cetera and buy groceries. And so families should not have to go through that. You should be able to take a week off from work and spend time with your children.
So what is keeping people from having that now?
I don't know. With the exception of there's no one fighting for them. You still got organized labor who is fighting with every ounce of energy they have. People in poultry industry now are making fairly good wages, $12, $13 an hour, and that's really good for poultry industry to be paying that because we eat a lot of chicken. And so they're working very hard to make sure that those employers are treated fairly. Alabama is a right-to-work state, but employers still have a responsibility. They must keep documentation. You know, yeah, they can walk in and say, you know, we don't need you anymore. Well, why? Did they come to work wearing a green shirt instead of a blue shirt? Had you warned them before about their character or their demeanor or their clothing? So employers got to be held to accountability as well. And I think it's good when people can sit down at a table and bargain, when they can sit down at a table and everybody come to a happy conclusion saying, this is what's fair.
Do you think that Alabama is doing all that it can right now to both attract top talent from elsewhere and hold on to its brightest?
We're losing our brightest because, you know, Amazon wanted to come to Alabama. They had their eyes on Alabama. But we're lacking in broadband, and we're lacking in infrastructure, which broadband is a major piece of that. People want to be able to communicate. You know, a lot of people work from home now with their computers and stuff. Well, there are certain parts of Alabama you don't even have broadband. and people have to drive another mile down the road just to get cell phone usage because of the towers and the way they're situated and the beautiful rolling hills of Alabama. So we got to do that in order to keep our children when they finish college here. You know, it's amazing. We are graduating engineers, top engineers, lawyers, doctors, nurses. Alabama probably produced more nurses than anybody in the country because we got some great nursing schools, UAB, Wallace Community College, and other community colleges throughout the state have nursing programs. And we're putting them out there. And they are some of the best in the world. But some are having to work weekends in other states just to get gainful and good employment. And some of our engineers are leaving here. So what we can do in Alabama is just a vision. And we can do it. Because without a vision, we're going to perish. Maybe a way of I mentioned one time about a commuter rail. And a couple of guys came up to me after my speech and said, you know, I've heard you speak a lot, but when you mention commuter rail, that is possible because we work for the railroad. My son just graduated as an engineer, and he had to move to Kentucky or somewhere to get a job. Mm-hmm. And he could have been working right here in Alabama. And so we got to think outside the box to keep our people here, our children here, and let them become entrepreneurs. Alabama is doing a lot to recruit industry. We are the third largest automobile producing state in the country. Michigan, South Carolina, Alabama. So we're not broke and we're not poor. And they're wanting to come to Alabama for one specific reason. We still have great work ethics in Alabama. People in Alabama will work. We just got to provide good, decent jobs, paying fair and equitable wages, and we got to make sure that health care is provided for our people, because if we're not healthy, we can't work. If we're not healthy, our children can't learn. And so we got to do something about that. And we got to close this issue on Medicaid expansion. We got to make sure that everybody in Alabama have access to good, affordable health care, and that they have a place that they can go to receive good health care.